When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Well, to put it bluntly, that sucked. I'm your host, Josh Polha, here with Joe Gilbert again, like usual, Browns Instant Insights. If you could have given me a worst case scenario with this Browns Cardinals game, I think that would have been my answer. 37-14, the injuries, the referees. I haven't been this down about the Browns since week one of 2020. And last year we had an excuse because they didn't have a training camp. They had a new coach. It just is what it happened. And we had excuses for it. Today, I don't have an excuse. And it was ugly. I wasn't even at the game. Joe, you were. Give me some of your thoughts. I'm sorry that you had to deal with that in person. I could at least walk away from the TV at times. I don't want to be super down. I don't want to sound like a Browns fan from 1999 to 2019, but I haven't been this down about a Browns game in a year and a half.
Yeah. They crapped the bed, man. That was bad. It was miserable. The game was miserable. The fans were miserable there. It just compounded even with the bad reffing. It was just an awful day, man. Nothing went well. Defense was terrible. Offense clearly showed
what terrible.
Yeah, terrible. There's literally no positive in this. I couldn't think of a positive today. Maybe I'll say Donovan Peoples-Jones was good, but
hold on. I have one positive, and it's his first positive of the season. Hold on, I'm looking at the back.
Oh, Jamie? Is it Jamie? Is it our boy Jamie?
Is it Jamie Gillen? It is absolutely the Scottish Hammer. He knew his job was on the line, and he came out and punted the ball twice for 53 yards both times. So, yeah. Jamie, congrats on keeping your job. Well, congrats on literally being the only positive of the game.
Yeah. This was one of the, I would have to say, this has to be one of Stefanski's worst losses in his Browns career so far. It's probably the worst because they looked overmatched. They never were really in the game. That Hail Mary kind of made it seem like we were in the game, but we weren't really in the game. It wasn't. It was a facade. They had two stops in the second half, that defense, and then the offense couldn't do anything, and then it just reverted back to what we were seeing the whole time. It was not good. Defense is a problem. It's been a problem for four of the six games now.
For 22 years? All right, continue.
Yeah. For 22 years, yeah. And I thought maybe the real defenses were the ones versus Chicago and Minnesota, and it's starting to look like it's not. It's starting to look like the real defense is the ones that we saw in the four other games. And today, they couldn't get off the field. They had so many miscommunications. It was unbelievable how many they had in the secondary. People not picking up each other. There was one play. It was a deep crossing route, and both guys took the same guy and left DeAndre Hopkins, probably one of the top three best receivers in the NFL, wide open.
Bill O'Brien would disagree with that statement, but I agree.
Right. It was just awful, and it's starting to be like there's something wrong. It's either the construction of the secondary. I don't think that's true because I think there's a lot of talent back there. And or it's the coaching. And
Just say it.
Joe Woods is on the hot seat once again.
He
got off of it last 2 weeks ago. He's back on it, man. It's awful. There's they're going backwards again, and it's the same problem. It's not like they're getting, it's not like they don't have talent. Like last year, they didn't have talent. That was the problem. They have talent, and it's just constant mistakes by this defense. And that goes back on the coaching. And Joe Woods needs to be on the hot seat. And I don't know how much longer they can go with him. Something needs to change. He needs to. They run this the quarters defense, and they look like they've never run it before. But they run it the most times.
When that's literally their base defense,
right? That's like it's incredible just how many times on third downs, just wide open guys on crossers, on just down the sideline. It's just incredible how many open receivers there are on third downs, It's so bad right now. The defense is so bad. I feel bad for the front four because they're doing their job. They're getting pressure. They're stopping the run pretty well, but they're getting no help in the secondary, and it's not good. And now our best linebacker might be hurt in JOK, and it's just. This game was a train wreck, and it just got worse and worse. And I don't know. It's one of those car wrecks where it just kept going and going and just getting.
It's
worse
like the
and
top
worse.
Thrill dragster, but it never really evens out. It just keeps going downhill.
Right. It just
and to make that hill even worse. Not only today was worst case scenario for the game for the injuries, but the Browns literally have a game.
In
less than 4 days from now, from this exact moment, it is less than 4 days from now.
God, and I don't even know who's going to suit up. I don't even know if they have enough people to suit up. Like, clearly, like, this is, I'm hoping maybe they'll get Chubb back. I don't know. That's probably a stretch. Maybe they'll get Jarvis back. I think that's a stretch again.
D'Ernest Johnson. D'Ernest it is Jeff. All about D'Ernest.
It's gonna look like because I think it's not a Achilles according to the Stefanski, but it's something serious because he went down untouched. We're talking about Kareem Hunt untouched, and when there's an injury like that, that's never good. So we might see a D'Ernest Johnson.
I think the problem here is that you literally just said he went down untouched, and you had to specify which Browns player you were talking about. That perfectly explains today.
Right. It was sort of like the flags today, where it was just a rolling continuation. It was a rolling continuation of injuries, man. And they were, like, serious ones, too. Baker re-injured his shoulder, which is...
He popped it out again, by the way, which is not good.
No, and I think he said after the game that it continued to do it, which was just...
That's what happens. That's why you need surgery, and if you don't get surgery, it will never fully heal, ever.
Yeah, so I don't know what else... I don't know what we could do there. Surgery takes... I think that'll be a season under, probably, or I don't know. This is a downer, man.
I hate doing these podcasts and just being Debbie Downers, but
I know.
Seriously, when we have to rely on Jamie Gillen, I can't even pronounce his name right. When we have to rely on the Scottish Hammer to be one of the only positives, not to hate on Jamie, but that's not good.
Yeah.
And now that we are 8 minutes in, I just want to remind everyone that this is the official Waiting for Next Year podcast. We're brought to you by Evergreen Podcast Network. Before Craig kills me, I hope he's listening right now. We're live, even though we're 8 minutes in, like I said. We're live on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. Wherever you want to be down about the Browns, just join in for us.
Yes. But I do have to say, Edward Hoagler, we are not bringing back Hugh Jackson. Sorry. Wait.
I was going to future that later on. I know Ed. I hope he's joking, but he might not be. That's the problem, too. This is how bad today is. Most of the time, you can be like, oh, yeah, he's joking. But I don't know.
it's never going to be that bad that we have to bring Hugh Jackson back. That's all I have to say. Because that was bad.
True.
But yeah, this is just not a fun day right now.
And then to have to play Thursday night. against the I mean, the Denver Broncos just had a game too, but I can guarantee you they did not have this miserable of a game, both outcome wise and injury wise.
Yeah, it's just gonna be. It's just. I really want to know. I don't know who's gonna dress. Like
me,
I don't. Right, it's like we might have to have a full practice squad just have to play on Thursday. It's gonna be a really bad situation. This Thursday night game probably came in the worst timing in the world. I wish we could somehow move the bye week up to this week, but it is just this is
yeah. What are we? So we just ended week six. The Browns are literally halfway to their bye week. That's how far it's away.
I know. It's just this is oh my gosh. Hopefully we can regroup and turn it around here. Broncos aren't going to be like the Cardinals, but they're still not a bad team that they can just roll over. So
we still have we still have plenty to talk about. By the way, the Broncos started off 3-0. They beat 3-0-9 teams. They are now 3-3.
Yeah,
and because you know I love Vegas, and you know I love betting responsibly. The Browns are currently 5.5. The Browns are currently 5.5 point favorites Thursday night. I don't know about that.
They were what 3.5 today, so
they were 3 today. Well. And I hate going against the Browns, so I didn't do anything with that. But I said all week, how are the Browns 3-point favorites over an undefeated Cardinals team? And that was before Nick Chubb even went down. And then when Nick Chubb went down, I was like, how is that line not moved?
Right. It's wild, man. It's what was even worse, I was just thinking with all the guys out on our side, they didn't have their offensive coordinator head coach, and their offense did not look any different. They ran and threw down the Browns defense throughout all game, and it didn't look like there was any hitches in it. That's an indictment on the defense too. They allowed a backup play caller that's never called a play in the NFL, probably never was even like trained to do it this season, and they went in there and just ran it like it was just a regular day. It was
Joe Woods just got out coached by an offensive coordinator that has never called plays before.
Yeah, I think they even had like a weird tandem play calling where I think it was the offensive line coach and passing coordinator.
Where one guy says the run plays and the other guy says the passing plays.
I don't know. It was a weird dynamic. I thought that was maybe an equalizer. It was clearly not. Kyler.
Oh, Murphy, I said, do you know what? That's one of the reasons I was like, all right, maybe they're 3-point favorites because of the coaching situation.
Nope.
Yeah, but going back to Joe Woods and defense, talent, if the Browns didn't have talent, that wouldn't be on Joe Woods. That would be on Andrew Berry. Mm-hmm. But the Browns have talent. They just brought in a ton of new players on defense. They have talent all over the field. And Joe Woods, I mean, we can say they're only 6 games into a 17-game regular season. But if when you leave DeAndre Hopkins wide open, there's an issue. Like, if there's a communication issue, it's on Joe Woods. If it's not fixed, it's on Joe Woods.
Yeah. Like, you can look clearly at one person. You can look at John Johnson. John Johnson looks like a completely different person when he came over from L.A.
He looks like Johnson John this year. Completely different. Does.
Like, seriously, it's like he... It's just a completely different person, and that's I feel like he's just he kind of reiterated during practice this week in his presser. I don't think he fits. He likes the role that he's in. The defense.
He definitely without saying it. If you read between the lines, he definitely called out Joe Woods. It'd be like Kevin Stefanski and Van Pelt using Nick Chubb as a passing down back and Kareem Hunt as, hey, go get a yard up the middle back.
Yeah, it was.
It's like completely different roles.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why it's got to be on Joe Woods right now. It's the talent is there. Myles Garrett, Jadeveon Clowney, John Johnson, Grant Delpit, who showed off early on in the season. Denzel Ward. It just they look so disjointed and out of character for what their talents are, and that's got to be on coaching. And if they don't figure that out, they got to make a change. They gotta move on from
Joe. You are the weakest link. Goodbye. Remember that weakest link show? You are the weakest link. Goodbye. Yeah. That's what Joe Woodson.
He's on the hot seat, man. I don't know how much if they don't see an improvement, if they continue to just struggle. Like next week, we play an offense that's not good. It's
Denver. The next 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
Imagine. Okay, I'm gonna knock on wood as I say this. If Big Ben and the Steelers offense come into First Energy Stadium and light up the Browns defense, Joe Woods should just find an Uber to the next city that he might be coaching in.
Seriously, these next two games are a test because the defensive side is not that banged up as much as the offense. They're going to need them the next two games because we don't have any offensive tackles right now. That was clear today. We might not have any running backs after today.
Remember earlier this year how we said the Browns not only have one of the best offensive lines and one of the best running back rooms in the NFL, but they also have a bunch of depth.
Who foresaw both tackles going down, their top backup tackle going down, and then their top two running backs going down? That's going to knock out anybody's depth. But yeah, this is incredible. Just
I feel like this only, I mean, I know I hate the only in Cleveland thing, but this only happens in Cleveland.
I feel like it pinpoints one part of the roster. It just goes right at it. It's just gonna knock out a whole position group. This is unreal. And luckily the defense is relatively healthy. Well, we'll see on JOK, but still they should be able to compete and play well. And they're going to need to step up for this offense because Baker's shoulders popping out every play. They don't have running backs. They don't have any tackles. Odell Beckham got hurt again, and he's hampered. So,
Do you know how like the CVS receipts are like really, 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 really long? Yeah. You might as well just put the Browns injury report tomorrow on a CVS receipt.
That's what this week's looked like, and I just can't.
That's what I mean. On Monday. Last week, yeah, and this week's is going to be even worse.
It's going to be
way worse.
Yeah, it's going to be, oh my God. So the defense needs to step up because this team, this franchise needs it to happen. And if it doesn't, because they have some favorable matchups the next three per weeks probably, they need to make a change because if nothing happens, if we continue to see miscommunications, third down conversions, something needs to change. But hopefully they can get going with these favorable matchups because they'll need it.
I'm trying to lighten the mood a little. And here's another joke. I feel like putting the healthy players on the injury report this year might be easier than putting the injured players on the injury report this year. Or this week, I mean, not this year. This week.
It would
be like, Case Keenum, healthy.
Running back, Dimitri Felton, injury risk. Offensive line, you could probably
put 53 offensive line, players, you could
probably put two people on. Wyatt Teller and Joel Matonio.
True, because JC Treader, you know he's going to be on it no matter what.
Yeah. It's just unbelievable. It's
crazy. Yeah. Of the 50, there's 53 guys on the active roster. I would say the over-under for the injury tomorrow's injury report, or today's whenever it comes out, since it's a Thursday game, I don't know when it'll come out. It'll be over 30, guaranteed.
It's gonna be a record holder there. The luck on this team is just incredible. It doesn't even stop at injuries. There's like I think maybe how many fumbles do they have total? They had
The Cardinals, it seemed like they had at least five or six.
Four, and they never lost any of them.
Yep. They recovered every single one.
And I think we lost two, and I think they lost them all. We didn't recover
either. The Browns, they lost the turnover battle 3-0, and I heard on the way home, I was listening to 92.3, the fan. I don't know why I did that to myself. That was why I listened to the Browns post game. I don't know, but it was on the I went to my aunt and uncle's house, so I was listening to the Browns game on the way to the house, so I just decided to listen to Browns post game on the way home and not change the radio station because I was dumb. So, yeah, but they said the Browns had 3 turnovers. Cardinals had 13 points off those turnovers. So then not only lost the turnover battle 3-0, but the points off turnovers was 13-0.
Yeah. Are you ready for this? So they had 16.
Oh, man.
Or no, 4 fumbles, and none of them were lost.
Only 4?
Yeah. It was all Kyler, too. And it was 2 fumbles for the Browns, and we lost both of them. So. It's just the luck is the defense hasn't been able to get turnovers and the lucky ones that you can get like on these fumbles, they haven't been able to get that either. So it was,
let's just continue with this absolutely positive talk about the defense.
Oh yes.
No. So when you can't force turnovers, you need to find a way to get the opposing offense off the field, which is third downs. I can just, without even going back and looking at the film, there was a 3rd and 14, I think they let up, and a 3rd and 10 that they let up. Yep. And overall, the Cardinals were 8 for 15. I know at one point they were 6 for 8. They ended up 8 for 15 on third downs.
I think there was a 3rd and 19 too. They got a touchdown off of it. I think that was.
So if you can't force turnovers, you need to dominate on third downs. And the Browns did it neither. And they have, let's be honest, they've done neither all season overall.
Yeah, and that was their saving grace last year. They at least got turnovers last year. This year, they're not getting any. I think there's 2. Did they have 2 this year, I think, maybe, at the most? I think it might be Greedy Williams with both interceptions. I don't think there's any others. Special teams has gotten some. I think there's a 1 fumble recovery. But, yeah, the defense, it's incredible how bad they've been. Besides 2 games, it's just awful. I don't know what else to say. It's just awful. They need to play better. They need to put up or shut up because the talent is there. Andrew Berry has given them everything they need, and they're just not getting it done. It's pretty pathetic right now. It's just stuff to, like, Kyler Murray was just dominating them all day. When they send pressure, which is we can probably lead into on the offense, it was a stark difference between the two quarterbacks and how they handled pressure today. Stark. It was Kyler ate up anytime they blitzed and pressured the Browns pass rush, pressured them. He ate them up. I would love to see what PFF says afterwards, but I would say his pressure under pressures are pretty damn good.
I think we just.
What's
up? I totally just lost you. So whatever you said, I can probably believe that it was Browns negatively related to the defense. Yeah. And now I just lost my train of thought. Oh, not to have, I do not want to have this conversation. Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
Watching Kyler Murray and Josh Allen play like they have been this year, and then watching Baker, I want, so it's one of those things where, like, as a Browns fan, I want so badly for Baker Mayfield to dominate. As a Cavs fan, I want so badly for Colin Sexton to dominate. Mm. But when there are more questions about what they might do in their future than answers, that's a problem.
Yep.
And I somehow just compared Baker Mayfield to Colin Sexton, and I don't think that's a good thing, but here we are.
Yeah, this was, I really wanted this game to be that game that he shuts them all, everybody up. He had a lot of talk going out of last game, which was kind of weird because they put up 42 points, but he obviously didn't play as perfectly as he wanted to, but this game did not help anything. It probably added even more. He missed a lot, and he's just not reacting quick enough to the things he's seeing out there. Yeah, a lot of the set, obviously the offensive line just killed him, but he didn't do them any favors. He held onto the ball way too long. He was more worried about trying to avoid the rushers than rather getting quick passes out of there. It was just bad. And that interception was one of the worst throws I've seen him throw in a long time. It was not even close. It was right to the guy, and this was a game where you really kind of have to think, like, is he going to take the next step, or is he just going to be this quarterback that we've seen in the last year and a half, that he just plays south up and down. He can have some high notes, and then he can make some really bad plays. There's a lot of questions coming out of this, and you can't blame the shoulder, because he threw a 66-yard Hail Mary to the other end zone, and not many quarterbacks can do that. So the shoulder is not something that we can use anymore. It's all in his head. He's just not reading the field correctly and not getting the ball out fast enough, and it's a problem. We need him to. I thought he was gonna, before the season, I thought he was going to take another step forward and be a top flight quarterback. He is not. He has taken a step backwards, and it's very disheartening. I don't know. It's just creating more questions than answers right now,
which is not good. Makes you. I can only imagine how awful sports talk radio is going to be this week with the hot. I'm not even talking about the host. I love some of the hosts in Cleveland, but it's the callers. Callers are going to make. I can only imagine. But yeah, when I want so badly, like I said, I so badly for Baker Mayfield and Colin Sexton to be.
I know.
But when there's more questions and answers with both of them, that is a humongous problem, especially with two big contract extensions looming. I mean, it's as simple as that. And
I'd have to say that's a really good comparison. Like, obviously,
the Cavs and the Browns talk.
Like, talent wise, I think they're a little bit different. Obviously, where they're at towards compared to like people in the league, but they're in a precarious spot with these contracts, and they're just not fully showing that they are worth it. And it's a tough spot.
I can't wait to tell Jeff Nomina that I compared Baker Mayfield to Colin Sexton in this podcast.
Jeff is in mourning right now after his Miami Dolphins lost to the Jaguars. So
yeah, Matt, wait, hold on. Let's just all be happy that we don't have Tua Tagovailoa. I can't even pronounce the name. I'm gonna say Tua. I would take Baker over Tua any day of the week.
Well, yeah, that's not hard. He's playing awful.
So that's absolutely. Oh my gosh, the fact that we're comparing Baker to Tua now—that's not good either.
No, it's not. This season was supposed to answer so many questions, and it's starting to.
It has brought on more questions.
Too many questions. Yeah,
it's like a 10-answer quiz that has somehow turned into a 100-answer exam.
Right. It's not good. Luckily, there's 11 more games left. There's time to turn it around, but
is that luck though? If we have 11 more of these games, I don't think that's so lucky, Joe. Let's be honest.
Luckily, we're not playing the Cardinals anymore.
True. Oh man, in 2 weeks, it could either be like, okay, we just beat the Steelers, or okay, I'd never want to do this podcast again.
Oh God. well, positive thoughts.
It's so hard to be positive after today though. When the only positive, basically, although JLK, he played really well again. I would love to see his PFF grade after this. One of the only positives after today's game is Scottie Shamer. That's not good news.
No.
And here we are.
It was not. And there's no excuses like for the offense struggling either. They the win was not that big of a factor because obviously Kyler Murray had no problem throwing in the win, so that wasn't a problem. They couldn't get the run game going early, which pretty much just got them out of funk. And right now, which is, I thought this might have been a good test for Baker, that the passing game had to lead the game or lead the offense, and they couldn't. They just couldn't. The run game couldn't get going early on, and pass game just did not pick it up for the rest of the offense, and that's not a great sign right now.
I don't know what else to say to that because it's not.
Yeah.
I just so badly want to be positive, and it's I'm back to being like the Debbie Downer 1999 to 2019 Browns fan right now. And I want so badly that to change. The problem is that the Browns are 3-3. That's not bad, especially when they have two very winnable games thrown up. I don't know who they play in 3 weeks, but I know the Broncos and Steelers, two very winnable games, two games that they should win, especially because they're both at home.
I think it's Bengals.
You're right. It is the Bengals. I think it's at Cincinnati too.
The second place ahead of you, Bengals.
That's what I mean though. So the next two games, I know it's only week 7 and week 8. They're must wins. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
Given the opponent, given the location, must wins.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
But the fact they're already two games behind Baltimore in the division. If you want to compete, compete for a division title, you're already two games back, six games into the season.
Yeah. And they look like a whole different – they looked in a whole different universe playing the Chargers this afternoon.
Compared you just to had to bring it up, didn't you?
It's just, I thought, I was like, okay, this is obviously there's different circumstances. Them playing the Chargers had to come over there some reason play at 1 o'clock on the East Coast, which was just awful.
We can't say that, but no, the Browns have no, that never mind. That's Ohio State, Oregon. Oh man, yeah. We won't talk about that either. All right, go on to what you're saying.
Yeah, it was just that the scheduling gods did not do the Chargers any favors, and it seems like they're giving the Ravens a lot of favors so far. But it's
go figure with that one. But right.
But they still look like a whole different universe level team. It's not good. Luckily, they don't play them until way late in the season, so there is time to get this back, get everyone healthy, hopefully. But time is the clock is ticking, and they need to make some answers here. They need to step up, a whole team.
I'd be interested to see if there is a players only meeting this week. I know before the Chicago game, Myles Garrett came out to that there was a players only meeting. He answered that. He answered that by saying or by having a 4.5 sack performance against the Bears. I would love to know, one, if there is one this week, and two, who is it led by? Is Baker going to take it? I mean, you have to lead by example. If Baker's going to take the players-only meeting, you better lead by example, dude.
Yeah, someone needs a – there needs to be something said because they're just – they haven't played a full, complete game this whole entire season. We haven't seen the offense and the defense and the special teams all play at the top level. And I know Baker said after the game, we're not trying to make a playoff game right now. But you gotta start showing that they can have these and put them together consistently. Like top teams do that early on in the season too. It's not like they're just build it up. You gotta show it, and they just have not done that. And even in their losses, the offense was terrible for both games pretty much. In the other four games, the defense has been just awful. So one day we'll put it together. Hopefully it's the Broncos, but we'll see.
Hopefully it's this season. Yes. I won't even say hopefully it's next weekend. Although Thursday night, let's be honest, it's most likely not going to be Thursday night.
With the injury report, I highly doubt
exactly.
it.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's going to be no excuses, though. They need to get that win. It's the freaking Broncos. They're not good. They're 3-3, they're not good.
I feel like as if I was a Broncos fan, you can literally just switch out Broncos and Browns to what you just said and say that same exact thing right now. And I'm being honest. You can say they're the Browns, they're 3-3 right now, but they're not good. I mean, the Browns are good when healthy, but if you're going to a Thursday night, you're very happy as a Broncos fan right now. Let's be honest.
Yeah, the way we're playing, it's just the the performance level is just kind of decreasing ever since those two losses two shutout wins. It's kind of a weird trajectory. The offense kind of was up like high and then it kind of sunk, and it's like up and down, and they're never really, both the offense and defense are never really matching each other in performance level. It's well, today they did, but that was not the way you want to match them.
Not the way you want to match, right? When you guys are stuck on ground level. Like, you're trying to go up the roller coaster, and you guys got stuck and wanting to, like, leave the ground.
Yeah. It was, it's not good. And I don't want to be completely down. There's only six games. It's only six games. They're 3-3. They're not in last place or anything like that. They still have a ton of talent on this team. They have a great head coach. There's still time. There's 11 games left. But they need to start doing it. They got to go out there, stop making excuses, stop trying to say all's well. It's not well right now. They got to show that they can improve off of this. And I think they can. I really do. The talent, I know how good this team is talent-wise. I think they can do it. Especially they have a real opportunity in the next three. Let's see the schedule here. Let's see, Broncos, Steelers, Bengals. Then they play the Patriots, which is not the not the easiest. But still, the next three games are against teams they should beat. I think the next four games, they play the Lions after that.
Let's not get too far ahead of ourselves.
Let's not get too far, but this stretch this is the stretch they need to take advantage of.
I'll interrupt you quick. They should be favored in the next five games.
I would say so, yes. And but they need to take advantage of this. They cannot lose these games. Like my expectations. They need to go 5-0. It's just the way that if they want to be a top tier level team, be a playoff contender, a top Super Bowl contender, they need to take care of business and win the next five games. I'm sorry, that's where the expectations are. If you don't want those expectations, then they shouldn't have talked all the talk this offseason. It's where they're at. The talent is what's driving this expectations, and they need to win. They need to show it.
Yeah. I mean, 8-3 sounds damn good. But like I said, they'll be favored in the next five games. It'll be interesting to see how they perform in the next five games.
Yeah. Someone said, it was on Twitter, this is a turning point game. This is really a big turning point game. It could go downhill, or it could be just a bump in the road and they'll turn it around and all that. This is a turning point right here.
Let's just say, for some reason, I'm really into roller coasters during this podcast. I have no
you
idea
really
why.
Are. This is like the fourth one right now.
I haven't been to Cedar Point or on a roller coaster since I was a senior in high school in 2009. And I probably just made some of you guys feel really old. I'm sorry.
You're trying to get your shorts on the podcast, aren't you?
No, but it's almost like they're at the top of the top field dragster, and they're either about to go back downhill backwards or go like the right way. You know, does that make sense? Yeah. Is that a good metaphor? Yes. No, that was horrible. Yes. That was absolutely horrible, wasn't
it? Fine. The top field dragster always goes down once in a while, so I can see that. But
okay, you want to go like down the hill forward. Okay, roller coaster is bad because you always do go downhill. Shit. Gosh, dang it.
Let's try to diversify.
All right, back to Colin Sexton and Baker Mayfield comparisons.
See, that one worked.
But what I was saying is that on a roller coaster, you want to go down the hill going forward, not down the hill going backward. Right. And right now, the Browns are at the top of the top field dragster, and they want to go down the hill going forward.
tipping point. This is where Kevin Stefanski steps in too. It's you're the leader of this team. You gotta step up and you gotta kick him in the ass, man.
He needs to make adjustments too. I know in game adjustments are always like a hey, this coach either does or doesn't do it, but it's time for him to make some adjustments. It's clear that this isn't working.
Nope.
Whatever he is or isn't doing. So it's time for him to make it some adjustments as well.
That includes Craig Lindell, our own Craig. He spoke about it on Twitter about the fourth down calls. If they're still continually not going to get them, not converting them, something's got to change. It's just not working. You can't keep just doing it. It's something is just not clicking a fourth down. Just take the points. I know I'm pro going on fourth down, doing those the smart moves there. But when it's just not working like that, and you're not converting, you just got to change it up. You got to do something.
Yeah, and the one where they were down 16, going for it on fourth down makes sense.
Yeah,
field goal literally. Yeah. A field goal takes it from a two possession game to a two possession game. Yeah. Early in the game, though, like you said, I love the aggressiveness, but there comes a time when, one, you're not converting like you should be. It's been like that. It's not even like a this season problem. Mm-hmm. I think Jake Trotter tweeted out.
Yeah.
They're like the 30th worst ranked team. Yeah. It's somewhere bad since the start of the 2020 season.
Yeah.
So out, which means I'm assuming it's play calling on the fourth downs. But if you're not converting, just take the points. I don't care if you're playing the Cardinals. I don't care if you're playing the winless Lions, especially at home. If you can take 3 points, you're not only taking 3 points, but you're also getting the momentum from taking the lead. Instead, you don't convert, you get 0 points, and the Cardinals take all the momentum.
Yep. It's something that they need to really consider, because it's not working. It's just not, and especially now with all the injuries. The one early in the game, they just completely just kind of went right after Baker, and
every time they go for it on fourth down lately inside the red zone, Baker gets sacked. Like if there was like a betting prop, right. If there was like a betting prop of like, hey, the Browns are going to go for it on fourth down inside the red zone, will Baker get sacked? You'd be a freaking millionaire if you put money on Baker getting sacked.
Yeah,
it literally seems like it's happened like 5 times this year. No joke.
It was twice in
Minnesota, and one today. So that alone is three.
Three, and I probably. Probably there's more, but yeah, it's something. It's where you make adjustments. You got to make adjustments.
Go for the points.
Yeah, go for the points, especially for an offense that's struggling to get points. Especially today, they need to change it up. Something's needs to change. Both sides of the offense and defense needs to change. It's a tipping point right now. We'll see how they handle it.
I hope they handle it well. And I like how prior to this podcast, we said there will be a short one, and we're going on 43 minutes already.
It's all your roller coaster.
And I like my roller coasters and Colin Sexton analogies. Somehow I'll get sports and I'm on this, and I'll somehow include Lonnie Chisenhall too. I was hoping when we called out Craig Lindell, the great Craig Lindell, great insurance agent, average podcaster. No, I'm kidding. He's a great podcaster. He's the reason why I started podcasting in the first place. But I was hoping when I'd call him out, he would like show up in the stream and for me to add him. That way he'd be like, I'm here. But he
didn't. No.
So here we are. But yeah, the Browns just got embarrassed at home to the Cardinals. I don't even know what this is. 37-14. They scored all 14 points in the second quarter. One, thanks to I still don't get how they scored on that. How did the Cardinals let that happen? How is DPJ wide open on the end? Like, do they not have faith that Baker would be able to get into the end zone? That's my guess.
Yeah, well, they had I was on that end zone side, and they had a bunch of guys already lined up in there, and then DPJ just kind of ran right in front of them. They didn't they never really.
So the Cardinals really let guys run in front while the Browns defense let receivers run behind them.
Yes, or so, anywhere they want to go.
Yeah, I know I said this earlier. There's receivers that you can let open, wide open, mm-hmm. even in the NFL. I can't even talk. DeAndre Hopkins would be like the bottom of the list.
Yeah, it's not one of them. And A.J. Green, I had nightmares of A.J. Green killing his team again. So that was just a beautiful game today.
It was just beautiful. It was a beautiful work of art.
You guys are all lucky that you didn't go to the game because it was – I've been to a lot of football games. This was one of the most miserable ones to watch. The fans were just
– true. The fans had to be.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Between the refs and just the Browns' terrible play, it was just – it was hostile, as I would like to say, if I could say it. If I could define it as one word, hostile.
And a 4 o'clock start, which means that the tailgaters had 3 more hours to drink.
Yeah.
It's just a horrible combination to have.
Yeah, it's someone, I think it was, I forget who it was. The Muni lot was not made to be open for 8 hours. I think today it kind of showed it. It was
I cannot believe we just spent 45 minutes talking about this game because it was miserable. It really was. I guess it was due to my roller coaster metaphors and my Colin Sexton comparisons.
Yeah. You really drove it.
You got all right, but yeah, the Browns suffered a miserable, and I'd call it embarrassing. That's an embarrassing loss, especially at home.
Yeah, it was.
37-14. They dropped a 3-3 on the season. They have, like we discussed, three very winnable games coming up. They have Broncos Thursday night at home, Steelers at home, Halloween afternoon. That could either be a really scary Halloween or a very good Halloween. And then at Cincinnati, three games that they will likely be favored in, but injuries can certainly change that. It'll be interesting to see how the injury report is either tomorrow or Tuesday. I don't know when that gets released because of the Thursday night game. I would not be surprised if there's 25 to 30 players listed on the injury report, unfortunately.
Yep.
And yeah, there's nothing else to say. The Browns are 3-3. There's still 11 games left in the season, luckily. But they have a lot more questions than answers right now, and that is not good news. Joe, any final thoughts?
I'm going to just ask, can the NFL please move the bye week up? That's all I'm asking for.
Petition. Start a petition right now.
I'm going to start a petition. Also, anybody out there, if you pray to a certain God, if you have a lucky star or lucky rock or anything, just pray that we can get healthy. And
I did not see final thoughts going in this direction, but I'm here for it.
Just because this is we need it because this is going to be an awful week. It's gonna be an awful week, guys. Just brace yourself. I can't. Luckily, the only good thing is that it's a short week, so they only have 3 days to talk about this game, and it could completely change after Thursday. So,
but
that's the only positive.
But that also means that we have 11 days to talk about the Broncos game.
Please, God, win.
Oh, man. But, yeah, thanks to anyone that joined us live. I know our only commenter, Ed Hodler, Chef Ed. That stinks that you were the only commenter because you had Bring Back Hugh Jackson, and I feel like you weren't joking, and that's a problem.
It's a big problem.
But, yeah, if you join us live, feel free to comment. We'll respond, whether it's sarcasm or not, as long as it's not swear words. I've had that problem before, too. But yeah, thanks for joining us. If you're listening to us at a later time, feel free to listen to our pod. This gets turned into a podcast, so feel free to listen to Apple, Spotify, anywhere you listen to your podcast. Give us a 5-star review. Tell us how great my roller coaster roller coaster tycoon. Tell us how good our roller coaster metaphors were.
Tell us how good. Now we know what you were doing. You were playing.
No, I wasn't.
You were playing. I wish. Tycoon.
No, I used to play. I wish. Do you know what? Now I wish I was playing Roller Coaster Tycoon rather than watching that freaking Browns game. Let's be honest. I haven't played that game in years. That's back in the day when I used to play Roller Coaster Tycoon and Backyard Baseball. with Pablo Sanchez. I would take Pablo Sanchez on the Browns any day of the week.
I'll take him on the Indians too.
True. No, he'd be, let's be honest. Oh man, Michael Bodie's gonna hate me for this. Pablo Sanchez would be way too expensive for the Indians.
He would be. He would be only in the Dodgers Yankees market.
True, exactly. And I love how this Browns podcast has gone from roller coasters to Colin Sexton to Jeff Nomina to Pablo Sanchez.
Yeah. I would take Dimitri on the Browns, though. He was a good blocker.
Do you know who I would take? Wheeler. No, Wheeler.
Keisha Phillips too.
Wait, who is Keisha Phillips?
She was a good blocker. She was the bigger one though.
Shoot, hey, Thursday night the Browns might need some of these people. Let's be honest.
Seriously,
get their real life comparison out and bring
Andrew,
them to Cleveland.
Andrew, come on, you know where to look. LeBron turned into a cartoon. I think you can work your magic, turn them into real people. Let's do it.
I cannot believe we just went so many different directions at the end of this podcast. Holy cow. But here we are. I'll end it. Browns are 3-3. They play. And to make things even happier, we're a WFNY After Dark edition of the Browns Instant Insights Thursday night. Joe, are you going to the game, by the way? Please say no.
I am.
Oh, my gosh.
I called off Friday, so.
Oh, perfect. I get to work Friday, then leave for Chicago Saturday morning. Great. So we'll see you at midnight Thursday night. I'm going to be wide awake.
Yes, you will.
WFNY After Dark Thursday night. Listen to our podcast anywhere. Join us live. Give us a 5-star review. Tell us how great we are. Tell us how good our metaphors are. Go Browns.
Go Browns.
The Korean War has sadly been known as the Forgotten War, but half a century earlier, the United States was locked in a bloody conflict in Asia that's been all but erased from the history books. Hi, I'm Alex Hasty, the host of Ohio versus the World, an American history podcast on the Evergreen Podcast Network. In our newest episode, we speak to experts about the Philippine-American War, America's first Asian counterinsurgency conflict. The heroes, the villains. We'll discuss President McKinley, Admiral Dewey, the vicious brutality of the fighting, and the scandals and war crimes that nearly sunk Theodore Roosevelt's presidency. Check out our show, Ohio versus the World, on the Evergreen Podcast Network for our new episode about America's most forgotten war. Now back to the show.